Welcome to Parents Perspective. 12-year-old Janine stood in front of her mirror trying to figure out which outfit to wear to go to the movies with her friends. All of a sudden, her favorite jeans were too tight. The new blue sweater made her look just stupid. The red one was way too snug. Her hair just wasn't going to stay in place. And, oh heavens, right there on her left cheek, just beside her nose, a pimple had decided to appear. She threw herself across her bed. Her dad's car keys jingled as he poked his head in the door to her room. "Ready to go? I'm on my way out, so I'll give you a lift." Burying her head under her pillow, Janine wailed, "I just can't possibly go. Everything is wrong." From a parent's perspective, what should we know about puberty as our youngsters begin to experience this change? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are lucky to have with us an expert twice over. Dr. Carol Brimberg-Schulman is a mom who has been through this enjoyable stage with two daughters, both now grown. She is also a pediatrician who has been the first line of defense and support for countless parents of the children in her practice. We're so glad to have you with us, Dr. Schulman.
It's very good to be here.
Are youngsters going through puberty earlier now than in previous generations? How would you describe what puberty actually is?
Well, puberty actually is, it's a biological process during which a child becomes an adult and the process of sexual maturation takes place. And they are going through it earlier. About 100 years ago, the average age for a girl to start her first period was about 17. And over the 100 years since then, it has now decreased to where the average age is about 13 or a little bit less. So it really is occurring at a significantly earlier age now than it did in the past.
Is there a reason for that?
People really don't know. I think a lot of people feel that the reason may be increased nutrition, so that people with better nutrition and weigh more, that seems to kind of set things in motion a little earlier. But there are other theories. It may be due to environmental toxins. There may be chemicals. There may be hormones in the food that we eat. Scientists aren't really sure why this has happened.
Is it a good thing or?
I'm not sure. I think it used to be a lot easier when people were more emotionally prepared and a little bit older when all of these changes happened. And now sometimes these changes are happening in childhood. An 8-year-old girl may be starting to get breasts and looking in the mirror and thinking, you know, not only is her sweater looking stupid, but what are these things sticking out of it? And it's kind of scary when a young child starts having these changes.
I would think it's scary for the child and for the parents.
Absolutely.
To see this child maturing.
Absolutely.
So young.
Absolutely.
Parents probably have trouble dealing with a kid who looks older than he or she really is in terms of behavior expectations.
Exactly. And it's very, very important for parents to remember that an 8-year-old child who's getting breasts is still an 8-year-old child, and a 9-year-old girl that's having her periods is still a 9-year-old. And I think in the old days, parents used to use the line, well, you have your period now, you're a woman, and I think you can no longer do that. I think it can happen, and you can say, you have your period, how wonderful. But you're still a 9-year-old child, you know, you're not a woman. And I think that's one of the things that parents have to remember, you know, as puberty does occur earlier in their children.
Is there an age spread for what you would consider the normal onset these days?
The average age of onset of puberty in girls is about age 11. For boys, it's about age 12. But there's a pretty wide spread. It really is occurring about 2 to 2.5 years in either direction for both girls and boys. So you really have to be prepared earlier and in some cases later.
You know, I remember one of my children had a friend, a young man in 7th grade who was as tall as my husband. The child was over 6 feet tall, looked and sounded very mature. And of course he wasn't. He was only 12, 12 and a half. But teachers and the parents of his friends expected him to behave differently from these other little 7th grade boys.
It's scary. It can be a problem for the child when that happens, because not only do teachers and parents sometimes expect that a 12-year-old who looks like 15 is going to act like 15, his peers may expect that as well. I think that's sometimes even more of a problem for girls who may be quite sexually developed at 12 and may be treated by their male peers as a 15 or 16-year-old who's ready to date and participate in the activities of an older teenage girl, when that's not really the case. And a girl like that may feel a lot of pressure to behave differently than she really ought to be based on her chronological age. So I think this is a real problem. And I think that parents and teachers and other people who deal with adolescents have to remember that their state of physical maturation may not necessarily be the same as the state of their emotional or cognitive maturation.
How long can we expect puberty to last, Dr. Shulman?
Oh, dear. It seems like forever. I mean, sometimes it seems like it never ends. I'm not sure it has ever really ended, but with my own children. But I think that the average time spread for puberty is 2 to 5 years. And again, like everything else about puberty, this is going to vary. Some children seem to start abruptly and finish quite rapidly. Other children, it really does seem to take a longer period. But there are a lot of processes going on during this time. 2 to 5 years is an average from beginning to end.
So when do we consider a young person fully matured or beyond puberty? How do we know this has finally happened?
The technical definition really is that puberty is over when a child is fully sexually mature and able to reproduce. But I think a lot of us would consider that it goes on longer than that, until some of the other kind of emotional tasks of puberty are completed, so that it may be completed at 15 or 16 physically and biologically. Emotionally and cognitively, it may not be finished till 18 or 19 or even 21 in some late developers. And again, I think there's a big range of when puberty can be considered to have ended fully.
Mm-hmm. Can you go over some of the emotional tasks just so that parents are sure we don't forget some of them?
I think that part of what goes on during puberty is it's really a bridge between childhood and adulthood. And part of it is learning to separate somewhat from parents and family and to go out more in the world, to begin to discover who you are, what you want to do with your life, perhaps what your career goals might be. You're starting to think about what your other values are. What are your moral values? What are your religious values? It's a very complicated transition with a lot of things going on, mostly focused on trying to figure out who you are and where you fit in the world. Where is my place in the world? Who am I now? Who am I going to be? What do I want to be? And how can I achieve this?
What should parents know about this transition in a child's life?
I think it's important to keep in touch with what's going on with your child. And hopefully this doesn't start the first time you notice that your daughter has a breast buds or you hear your son's voice changing. Hopefully this has started before. It's important that a parent have provided a home environment where a child is free to kind of talk and where the parent can listen, because you really want to be aware of what's going on with your child. You want to watch, you want to listen, you want to see what's your child doing, you know, who are his friends, how is he spending his time. Parents have to stay keyed in to what's going on during this difficult time, because there can be a lot going on, and a parent has to know what it is so he or she will know what to focus on.
How ironic that this is a time the kids are trying to move away and parents need to be too
very,
totally
very
in
much
touch.
So. And parents have to be aware that it's not that the teenager doesn't love or need the parent. It's just that this is an essential developmental task of adolescence. The teenager has to move away from the parent in order to develop his own independent identity.
And one way parents can be in touch with what's going on is talk to other parents.
Absolutely.
Friends.
That's often very, very helpful. Very helpful.
And the kids usually say, no one calls anybody. No one ever talks to other parents,
exactly.
Mom.
But of course, they're all doing it. And it's important for your own sanity to do that. Say, oh, yes, my son did that. My daughter did that. And it's kind of reassuring to know that the thing that you think your child is doing that's so weird is really pretty typical adolescent behavior. The same way that adolescents are always comparing their own behavior, where they think they're weird, and then they find out their friend is going through the same changes or experiencing the same thoughts, or their body looks the same way, and it's reassuring to them, okay, that's normal. That's just a normal part of this stage of life. That can be very reassuring to both parents and adolescents.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on puberty.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we're talking with Dr. Carol Brimberg-Shulman about puberty.
Now, here we are at this stage where the kids are pulling away from us, don't want anything to do with us in many cases, even though sometimes that's just a cover-up. How in the world do we prepare them for this stage all the changes that are going to happen in their lives if they don't want to listen to us or talk with us?
They certainly don't want to listen to us if we sit down and give them lectures, but mm-hmm. they're often so-called teachable moments. I mean, there may be a moment you can be sitting and eating breakfast with your teenager and everything is quiet, and that may be an opportunity to slip something in. I think it's good to start doing this sooner. Again, you don't want to wait until your daughter gets her first period or your son starts worrying about his acne. You really want to have done this sooner. And some parents like to provide books for their children, and they may not even, you know, want to give the book to the child and say, read this, because that's a recipe for saying, forget about it. But if you leave a book out and say, you know, you might enjoy this, I found this helpful to me. If you are watching a TV show together and something comes up about adolescence or about values, that might be a time to say, you know, I really don't agree with what this show said, and this is why. So you want to use kind of moments to talk about the things that are going on that aren't necessarily lectures. Time together taking a walk can be spent doing things like this, because they're not going to listen if you sit down and say, okay, now I want to talk to you about why you shouldn't smoke or why I don't feel you should date. You really need to kind of do it at other times, and hopefully you will already have built up a relationship where you can talk, or where your teenager feels that you'll listen if they come into the kitchen and you're chopping onions and your teenager says, Mom, can I just run something by you? You know, you've got to be prepared to listen.
Now, what about other adults supporting kids?
That,
in this
I think
period?
That's terribly, terribly important because of the kind of unique relationship that an adolescent may have with his parents and an unwillingness sometimes to listen to what a parent is saying. It's very important, if possible, to have other adults involved. This can be teachers, this can be aunts and uncles, this can be grandparents. It may be a family physician. Sometimes questions arise about physical problems. An adolescent may be worried that he's not developing fast enough, or your adolescent daughter may be worried that things are happening too rapidly. This is a time when a pediatrician can sometimes provide really important reassurance about, yes, this is normal. This is part of adolescence. People do go through this. And again, this is another adult who hopefully is a trusted adult who the teenager may be more willing to listen to than to a parent.
So at the onset of puberty, it seems to be a good idea to make an appointment with a pediatrician.
Oh, absolutely.
You can speak from experience on that one.
Absolutely, right.
From the other.
Right, exactly.
I remember a really interesting dinner in my house. We had three sons, and of course the youngest was quite a bit younger than his brothers when they were going through puberty. And some issue was raised very naturally at dinner one evening. And I don't remember what the issue was, but it was physical changes in boys at some point in puberty. And we had such interesting reactions at our dinner table. One son turned bright red and purple and stood up as if to leave the room. That was the middle son. The oldest son said, well, we saw movies about that in school. And the little one's going, what, what? It's a wonderful family education time. So I think those things happen. And that was a teachable moment, except we had three different levels to teach.
Right, exactly.
And I don't know what we answered the youngest one, but somebody gave him some sort of an explanation, I think. There are children who begin puberty quite late. And even in talking about a normal range, how can we help those children? They might feel left out. They feel immature compared to their friends. They know they don't look as grown up as their friends. The girls might be wearing bras, and there's one that's still wearing a little T-shirt, you know. How do we help those kids?
I think, first of all, it is important, again, to have that visit with the pediatrician, because this will do two things. First of all, most of the time, this is just going to be normal for that child, and it can be very reassuring for the child to hear, yes, you are this age and you may not have started to develop, but I have examined you and I can tell you everything is normal and this will occur. It's just your timetable is a little different than everybody else's. And this can be very reassuring for the child. In the few cases where it may not be entirely normal and where there may be some sort of hormonal problem, again, it's important to have the pediatrician take a look at this so that this can be identified. I think more importantly, though, this is a time when parents and other adults really do have to get involved, because I think the emphasis here should be that try not to focus too much on what your body looks like right now, but focus on the things that your body can do. So it might be a good time to kind of deepen involvement in sports or dance or other physical activities or playing a musical instrument or writing poetry or whatever else your child is involved with that doesn't necessarily involve the size of the breasts or how tall a boy is or how muscular he is, but other activities that involve looking at your body and looking at your mind in terms of what it can accomplish and not what you look like right now. And just a lot of reassurance that you will get there eventually, that everybody goes through it, but they go through it at different times.
It's very cute. There was a friend of one of my sons who had late onset puberty in terms of growing. And so I said to him at one point, well, you know, it's just like a rain shower. You know, sometimes there's rain and sometimes it's sunny. And he said to me very mournfully, well, right now I'm experiencing a drought.
Oh. So,
but he got there. But it is, it's very intense and it's very immediate when they're going through this period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah. And very stressful. Adolescents are so focused on wanting to be normal and wanting to be like other people, so that an adolescent who is not like his peers, whether it's because of early development or late development, is going to worry about that and needs constant reassurance that he's normal. And he's not necessarily going to come to you with the question, am I normal? It may be phrased differently. It may be something like, well, is it okay that sometimes a boy might get a little bit of a breast? Or, you know, is it okay that a girl might be 13 and still be very flat-chested? And what they really want to hear is, yes, you are normal.
And that sounds like that's particularly good coming from a pediatrician.
They may need to hear it from a pediatrician, mm-hmm. because at that age, sometimes what parents say may be kind of undervalued. It's like, well, I know you're going to say that because you're my mother. and they just may need to hear it from somebody that's not their mother.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on puberty.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. Today we are talking with Dr. Carol Brimberg-Schulman about puberty.
Now, what about the other end of the scale, the kids who are doing this way before it would be quote-unquote normal?
Again, that can be a major problem, especially for girls who may be pressured into doing things that they're really emotionally not ready to do, like dating. And I think, again, for these girls, it is very important for their parents and teachers to make sure that they are involved in age-appropriate activities, that a 10 or 11-year-old girl may look like 15, but it's important for her to be involved in 10 or 11-year-old activities, that she should be with her peers, her female peers, and not one-on-one with boys, because most 10 or 11-year-old girls really, they don't want to be with boys. They want to be with other girls, and that's what she should be doing, even though physically, she may appear to be much older. And I think parents have to be very careful that they treat their 10-year-old daughter who has early puberty as a 10-year-old. It can be difficult, but they have to keep reminding themselves that they have to do it. Mm-hmm. And reminding the girl that she's 10 and reinforcing the other age-appropriate interests that she may have, which do not include things like dating.
Do you think single-sex clubs or schools or things are very good for kids at that stage?
I think that's excellent. I think that's mm-hmm. excellent. Absolutely.
Dr. Schulman, what suggestions do you have for resources parents can turn to for more information to help their own children deal with puberty?
I think there are a lot of resources available, and I would say, first of all, that parents really do have to be careful what they use, because some of them are a lot better than others. I think the American Academy of Pediatrics publishes an excellent book called Caring for Your Adolescent. The Academy of Child Psychiatry actually also publishes some very good brochures about parenting adolescents and adolescent problems.
Are those available at pediatricians'
offices, and also the bookstores actually have a lot of these publications available as well. And then there are some old standbys. Judy Bloom's book about It's Me, God.
Are You There, God?
Margaret.
It's Me,
are
Margaret.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Yeah. is still a classic in the field that many girls find helpful. There's a book called My Body, Myself for Girls, which is kind of a takeoff of the old classic, Our Bodies, Ourselves. There seem to be a lot more books written actually for girls going through puberty than for boys. But a lot of the sources do cover both. And I would just particularly urge parents that before they give something to their child to read, or before they even read it themselves, to kind of to look at it themselves, because some of these books deal with values, and you want to make sure that it's compatible with your own family values before you suggest that your adolescent read these books. Websites as well, I think they're a little more problematic because anybody can put something up on the web, and a lot of the sites on the web are not as good as others. And again, I would urge people to go first to the more traditional sites like the Academy of Pediatrics website, which has a lot of links to good resources and a bibliography for parents to read, and that's often a good starting point.
How do you do that? www.aap.com
or .org, I think, yeah. But type in American Academy of Pediatrics in a search engine and you'll get it.
In our house, we have found there's a book called Changing Bodies, Changing Lives, and that, I don't know if there's one for girls, but there's definitely one for boys, which has been quite useful, and that's very user-friendly for boys. The other thing is there's a book called The Better Homes and Gardens Teen Book by Dr. Wade Horn, who's the head of the
National Fatherhood Initiative.
And that has been found to be very, very helpful, too. It's been a pleasure to discuss this difficult time in our children's lives and sometimes in our lives with Dr. Carol Shulman. Thanks so much for being with us. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. And let us know what station you're listening to. We're now on stations all around the world, and so we're very excited to know what station you're listening to. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. Parents as Mentors is available also at all major bookstores and on the web. For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, just send a $5 check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. That's P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
You can reach Parents Perspective through your local station or call our toll-free number 1-800-791-8573. You can also email us at parentsper@aol.com. That's parentsper@aol.com. To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website. It's a shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective, all one word. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. This program was made possible by generous support from the Bender Foundation. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.